As it's been a couple of weeks since we looked at the armor of God, it may be helpful to review what we've looked at in these verses from Ephesians chapter 6. We've seen that the book of Ephesians, in our introduction, that it was written to Christians who lived, especially in a city that was dominated by paganism, by idolatry, even a place that was full of magic in the occult. You can read about that in the book of Acts and some of the history that happened there. It was a city where there was also broad, popular resistance to Christianity, where people who had converted and who had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ would both have to live with temptations to go back to the old life, but also with social pressure to bend under persecution. They'd spend their lives swimming upstream. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this beautiful letter, he wrote it to strengthen and to encourage these Christians. And we've been looking at this illustration that he pretty well closes the letter with. We're coming right to the conclusion here. And he ends with this one last picture that a believer needs to be a spiritual soldier. We need to be standing. We need to be resisting Satan. We need to be standing in an evil culture, in a society where Satan is working and he's pulling strings behind the scenes to try and warp the thinking of Christians. He's trying to discourage them. He's trying to sow doubts, whether it's through the media or through false teaching. And even in our personal lives, we'll have to be prepared to stand against his schemes, against his strategies. And a way to stand is to think of ourselves spiritually as soldiers, as being at war and as having to be equipped. We started with the basics, the fundamentals. You need truth, the belt, righteousness, you need the gospel, and need faith. And then today we're going to look at the need for guarding by the hope of salvation, the helmet of salvation. And we've been reminded as we've gone through this armor of God again and again, we've gone back to that introduction. You need the whole armor of God. You can't just leave lying one part or the other. You need to be clothed, as it were, with the Lord Jesus Christ. To put on the armor of God is to go to him for everything. It's to go to him in prayer, to his word, to himself even, to go to the throne of grace. And to be given the gifts of his armor, to be equipped from his word through prayer, through the life of faith, to stand against Satan. Well, today we're going to look at now one more piece, this helmet of salvation. That will be our theme, the helmet of salvation. First, we'll look at the purpose of the helmet. Second, the use of the helmet. And third, the benefit of the helmet. Purpose, the use, and the benefit. Well, now, the purpose of the helmet of salvation. As we've looked at each piece of the armor of God, we've seen that there are two sides to it. It's a picture that's rooted in the Old Testament. We'll look at it again from the book of Isaiah. But also to the Ephesian reader, this would be a very familiar picture. The Roman soldiers, they not only fought on the frontiers of the Roman Empire, but they also served in the role of basically a policeman, a security force. And so in their town and in their villages, there would be detachments of Roman soldiers, and they would see men walking around with this armor that the Apostle Paul pictures. And he's using this picture to remind them. Every time they saw a soldier like that, they'd be reminded of these things. And the helmet that they would be familiar with, it literally means an item that surrounds the head, a head surrounder. It's that simple. It was a shell made out of bronze or some other metal, and on the inside it had layers of felt and of especially leather. And the idea was that that helmet, when they went into warfare, it would especially save them from swords and axes, from blows. Helmets have actually not changed all that much in a few thousand years. That Roman soldier's helmet was a hard shell, a soft inside. Actually, they had a flap hanging at the back of the helmet or welded to the back of the helmet, and that flap went down over their shoulders and it overlapped their breastplate, the back part of their breastplate. A Roman soldier's helmet, you might remember from the pictures of that time, it had two flaps hanging on the side, and those flaps were actually cheek pieces. You often see pictures where they're hanging down, but in battle they could tie those two pieces together, and so they had a face guard and a neck guard, and their whole head was not exposed. And the idea was that when they went into battle, especially into hand-to-hand combat, where the shield was mainly to stop the blows of arrows and javelins, the helmet was meant that when they got right into the thick of battle, much of what happened in warfare in those days was swinging blows. They'd be facing people who were swinging swords or large axes, and they were usually swinging them at the level of the head. They were trying to kill people quickly, instantly, by hitting their head. And so you could imagine, to go into warfare in those times without a helmet, well, this would make you very vulnerable. You would feel exposed. A single blow to the head in that kind of warfare, that didn't mean a headache. It didn't mean a wound. It was pretty much guaranteed if you got hit in the head with a sword or an axe, you were finished. It was all or nothing. But if you got hit in the head wearing this bronze helmet with its face at least partially or mostly covered and with the neck covered and with a breastplate on, the idea was that a soldier, he could survive almost every blow. Yes, it would probably give him a headache, but he would still be alive. And that would give a soldier confidence that he could stand his ground, that he could continue fighting, that he wouldn't want to surrender or to run away. He could survive blows that would otherwise kill him. And it was the Roman soldier's helmet that actually was one of the reasons they were so successful. They went into battle against these barbarians, that they called barbarians, these people from the other lands and other countries, and they went into warfare with breastplates and helmets that meant that they were surviving the kind of blows that those barbarians were once used to winning war with. They went in well equipped. They went in ready. They went in able to survive what had killed other armies in the past. And that's what an Ephesian would think about. And so it makes sense, you see, that this is a helmet of salvation. Salvation simply means to be saved. And especially to save life. There's the idea behind the word salvation. It's often used in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a healing, a salvation that promotes and saves life. And the idea is, we know today, you even hear the expressions used in workplace safety. Helmets save lives. If you've spent some time on a construction site, or you've worked out in the bush cutting down trees, you know eventually you'll get hit in the head, especially if you work in commercial construction and there's multiple floors above you. I can remember many times a screwdriver or a hammer or something else that somebody dropped from floors above coming down. And you know that once you get used to wearing a helmet, you start feeling very exposed if you don't have it. You feel vulnerable. You're always looking up. You get nervous every time you hear a noise above you. And that's the idea of this helmet. The idea is that when you have salvation in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be skittish and worried and fearful that something's going to come crashing into you and put you to death. When you put on the helmet of salvation, you'll be saved from those blows. Now, what does this mean when we use logic? The reverse logic is that your head is in danger. Metaphorically speaking, that as a Christian, we go into warfare and there's blows, there's threats to our heads, so to speak. That there's even very dangerous threats. It's as if, spiritually speaking, we're going into a spiritual warfare where Satan and his forces, they're swinging swords, they're swinging axes, they're trying to kill people, spiritually speaking. You might not agree. In our world, we have all these different safety laws, and maybe not all of us are a fan of every safety law. I noticed when I was in the States just a couple weeks ago, driving through, I think it was Indiana, we noticed that all these bikers were going down the highway with no helmets on. They had freedom there to do that. But you see, spiritually speaking, the idea is it would be suicidal. It would be foolish. You would certainly be killed. Satan is able to kill somebody who does not put on salvation. It's a command. It's an imperative. Take the helmet. Put it on. Your head is in danger. And he strikes death blows. If somebody goes into battle, into spiritual warfare, without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Satan will strike them and they will die. The wages of sin will be death. Now the ancients, they already knew that your rational, logical thoughts, they happen in your head. And as we've gone through the articles of the spiritual warfare, we've seen how they all make sense in the pictures of Scripture. At having the truth, that there's a certain mobility to it. Having the breastplate of righteousness, that it protects a person's vitals. There's also a sense behind this picture that they knew that a blow to the head was fatal. That there's a way of thinking that Satan has that will, spiritually speaking, kill people. And the picture is that Satan cannot inflict that mortal wound on somebody who has the helmet of salvation. And so now we're going to look at, what does it mean? What is the use of the helmet? How do we put on the helmet? And we'll look at that secondly, the use of the helmet. So first we've seen you really, really need this helmet. Without it, you will die. Now we're going to look at the use, or actually putting on the helmet. Well, this is another picture of the armor of God that's actually rooted in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah pictures the coming Messiah. I forgot to write down the reference. I think it's Isaiah 59 that we've been looking at every time. And there he pictures the Messiah coming to save his people. And he says, "The Lord saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor." So the Lord looked at Israel and he saw that Israel couldn't save itself, that it got in trouble again and again. And then it says, "Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, and it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak." When we think of the armor of God, actually the root picture is there already in the prophet Isaiah. And it's a symbolic, it's a spiritual picture of the Savior, the Messiah coming to deliver his people again and again. It points us to Jesus Christ himself. You have to think of the armor of God, and you have to be careful that you don't think about it too literally, actually. You should think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came in his first coming and when he will come in his second coming, clothed in this way. When he came 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus didn't come with literal armor on. A lot of people were hoping for that. Sort of a knight on a horse with literal armor on, beat off the Romans, give us our land back, that kind of deliverer. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God himself, came by his word, and he came with perfect righteousness, and he resisted the temptations of Satan. He conquered because he was clothed in righteousness. He kept the word of God perfectly. He kept the law. He stood in spiritual warfare. And the interesting thing is that when Isaiah pictures the Lord coming to deliver his people, he also pictures the Lord coming with a helmet of salvation. Now that seems almost hard to grasp. Perhaps you can understand why we ordinary, needy sinners, people with weaknesses and all kinds of problems and tendencies and to go in different directions, you can understand why we would need a helmet of salvation. But why would the Lord himself wear a helmet of salvation? We tend to wander, stumble, we lose attention to the word, we bump into trouble. We could see why we would need that helmet, but why would he? Well, the answer has a few sides to it. First of all, when the Lord Jesus came to this world, he went into spiritual warfare. And he was in danger. He subjected himself to Satan's attacks. There was the literal attacks in the wilderness. And the temptations through his life, they came from the Pharisees and from others. They tried to trip him up constantly. And in terms of spiritual warfare, we have to understand that the Lord Jesus, as he went through his ministry, as we read about it in the Gospels, that he's our ultimate example of a spiritual warrior. That was spiritual warfare. We have to understand that every possible arrow, every possible swing of the sword, every satanic tactic, that Satan, he unleashed it all. That's why, by the way, you see in the Gospels this rising up of demonic activity, all of these attacks on the Lord Jesus Christ from all different directions. And there's this sort of massive battle. The Lord Jesus at the center of it, and he's constantly being attacked. And if we want to understand what it is to wear the armor of God, as we've seen, it really means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to know him in faith, to look to him, and to understand and to see how he fought that warfare. Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. The Lord Jesus is our captain. He had the fiercest of blows aimed at him, trying to kill him spiritually. Think of Satan swinging over and over. Think of all those arguments with the Pharisees and all of those different situations on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Think of Satan swinging again and again, most viciously attacking the Lord Jesus from all directions. And yet he stood. We see him as the perfect model. And he came equipped even with a helmet of salvation, as Isaiah prophesies. And though the Lord Jesus was without sin, though he never stumbled, though he never bowed to pressure, he did take all the trouble that came with being made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He paid the wages of sin that are death. His final days were discouraging. They were tiring. They were difficult. And as Satan turned the nation of Israel on the Lord Jesus, his own brethren against him, he was mocked, he was slandered, he was rejected, he knew he had to die. But in the midst of all of that, we see the Lord Jesus trusting indeed that he would be saved. On the cross itself, he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." You see, the Lord Jesus was, so to speak, wearing the helmet of salvation. He was trusting that he would be saved. His hope is also expressed, Psalm 16, verse 10. In the King James Version, it translates it, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." There was this great confidence and this hope of salvation that even the Lord Jesus Christ had, that as he was going through this horrible warfare, getting attacked from every side, as he hung on the cross itself, he trusted, he knew that his Father would not leave him in the grave. He knew that he would be saved. That he had salvation as a helmet. And so it's really in the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we see what it means to put on the helmet of salvation. For as Isaiah prophesies, the Lord himself would come wearing it. He would come knowing that he would be saved. He would rise again. The Lord Jesus went through the darkest of trials as a man who had the hope he would be saved. And that hope is the same hope that a Christian has. See, when you have the helmet of salvation, the idea is that knowing and trusting in Jesus Christ, having the hope of salvation, as 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it, you can know that no matter what Satan throws at you, no matter what blow he swings at you, you will, by the grace of God, rise again. You will be saved. See, that is the helmet of salvation, and that is putting it on. It's very closely related to the faith that we looked at. But the picture is this specific hope that no matter what happens, God will save me. Because trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know regardless of what this trial is, I put on as a helmet the hope of salvation, the hope that on the other end of this trial, no matter what it is, even death itself, the Lord will save his people. He promises. And so now, having looked at how the Lord Jesus had that hope of rising again, how every Christian has that hope of being saved again, we're going to look at, thirdly, the benefits of this helmet. The benefit of this helmet. In spiritual warfare, Satan often works at sowing doubts, sowing fears, anxieties. There are these thoughts that come along. You're not safe. In the spiritual sense, Satan is very much like a terrorist. Terrorists work by planting these seeds of doubt and or fear, randomly, a bomb here or there. It may not be likely to happen to you, but you just never know. You know, in the past times, you might notice now terrorists are even working differently. They used to organize these big, massive things like September 11. But now, recently, it's these random, smaller shootings. Somewhere, some young man goes unhinged, North America or Europe, and he latches on to terrorist ideas. He picks some random public place, and it strikes fear in millions of people. And it was back in the days of Israel also. There were nations that would come and conquer, nations like Assyria, and they would come and they would use fear. They were so brutal, they would slaughter people, and that would put fear in the hearts of their enemies. And that's what a terrorist does in our day also. People begin to wonder, will it happen to me? Perhaps I'm better off staying at home. Perhaps I'm better off moving to a safer place. Terrorists rule by fear. And that's what Satan tries also to do with Christians. Through even literal terrorist attacks in one sense, but also many other ways of stirring up fear and anxiety. He swings his sword of terror, of lies, at believers, and he's trying to get them to duck. He's trying to get them to withdraw, to take a few steps backward, to be afraid, to speak, to go hide, to be on the retreat. And this is where the hope of the helmet of salvation comes in. It begins with knowing God in Jesus Christ and with trusting that in Him you truly are saved, that you're not an object of God's wrath, that you need not fear even death itself, that your sins are forgiven you, that Jesus Christ has paid that price. You see, to put on this helmet, as you're commanded to, it means to look to Christ in faith, to trust in Him alone, but specifically to trust in Him you are safe from death. You're safe from condemnation. It's very much about a hope that transcends the brokenness, the darkness, the hardships of this world, the trials, the temptations. Putting on the helmet of the hope of salvation. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 and 10. Just after it says there, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, he explains a little further. Why? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. See, those verses, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 and 10, they really define for us what this helmet of salvation is. Without it, you feel exposed to wrath. You fear death. You fear all these things that are happening in this world. But then with this helmet of hope of salvation, Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, even if we die, no matter what happens, we should live together with him. That's the helmet of the hope of salvation. It begins with the basics of knowing the real problem. The problem is not terrorism. It's not war. Your real problem is not politics and who's going to get elected in some election. It's not what happens to your family on this earth. The real problem is it's sin and death. That's the wages of sin. If you're not saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're exposed, you're in danger. All those other things, they're simply symptoms of the deeper problem, the disease of sin. And you see, the cure is the hope of salvation that's in Jesus Christ, who gives new life, who gives new heart. It's by the Holy Spirit being born again. And to put on the helmet of salvation means you find your safety, you find your refuge in knowing Christ and being a partaker of his resurrection. And you see, that means that even if you die today, or even if you go to the emergency room this afternoon, or you have a horrible week ahead of you. Everything falls apart. It's the hardest week you've ever gone through. Having the helmet of salvation means that in Christ, all is well. You're safe. There's nothing to fear. He's conquered even death itself. Now this week, Lord willing, we're headed into a week where we prepare for communion, where we'll be meditating this afternoon, also as we read through the first part of the form on who Christ is, on our faith in Him, and on salvation by grace through faith. What we have to understand is, as we meditate on those things, is that if we are to take communion, and if we're to put on this helmet of salvation, which is so closely related, in both cases, we're really admitting we're weak. We're admitting I'm frail. I'm a sinner. In the spiritual sense, I'm not a tough guy. A Christian confesses they are a poor and needy sinner. Spiritually speaking, we're not like those tough guys who can ride their motorbike down the freeway without a helmet. Or we're not like the construction worker who says, I can do things my own way, I'll be all right. See, a Christian confesses, I am weak. I'm weak. I look to Christ alone for my salvation. I need Him to encircle me, to surround me, to protect me. I'm weak, I'm dying, I'm dead in myself. But I stand in Jesus Christ. I can survive Satan's attacks. I can survive this battlefield because my hope is in Christ alone. You see, to come to communion is to admit our weakness, the same weakness in a different way. There we say, I hunger and I thirst for the righteousness that's in Jesus Christ alone. Without Him, I'm starving. I'm spiritually dying. But ultimately, it's the same picture. To put on the helmet of salvation is to say, I'm vulnerable. I'm weak. I need Christ to surround me and to save me because I need a Savior. And so the question for you today is, do you think that you are strong, spiritually speaking? That you're able to stand against Satan yourself? That you're smart enough or you're clever enough or you're able to resist temptation on your own? Or do you confess, I'm frail, I'm human. Apart from Christ, a blow from Satan would destroy me. Do you confess that, humanly speaking, you're dying, but your hope is in Jesus Christ? You see, you're going into another week where you're called, you must stand. Satan's attacks, they will come. This week, and some of you will perhaps begin to worry. Perhaps you'll begin to doubt. Perhaps you'll begin to fear. Well, here's the answer. Put on this helmet of salvation. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Hope in Him and His resurrection, and you will stand secure. Amen. Let us pray.